answering your tough financial questions for the past 26 years. It's Allworth's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hansen and Pat McClain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Allworth's Money Matters, call now at 833-99-WORTH. That's 833-99-W-O-R-T-H.
Welcome to Allworth's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain.
Glad you're with us today as we talk about financial matters. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors with Allworth Financial, previously Hansen McClain, just name change, name upgrade, I might add. And anyway, we come here, we meet during the week with people like yourself, come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And although we often pre-record the program, we are still here with you, and many of you listen via podcast, and whether it's on the terrestrial radio or podcast, glad you're here with us today.
And so if you're a longtime listener, you've known us for years and years as Hansen McClain, and we rebranded to Allworth to reflect more of what we actually do for our clients and the services we provide. It's more than just investment advice. It is financial life planning. But there was a unusual, I was a beneficiary of this name change in an unusual way, which is in a number of our buildings, it's in big lit letters, neon, it would say, well, not neon, but lit letters say Hansen.
Neon, like Vegas.
It would say Hansen McClain, and I knew they were taking those down off the building, so I asked them to save my name in lights.
Yeah, what are you doing with those? Because you sent me an email saying if you'd ask if one, I wanted the signs. I'm like, no, I don't want my...
So what I'm going to do with them, and I've been thinking a lot about this. First of all, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with them, but then I realized, you know, at some point in time, I'm going to die. And I am going to have a large crypt mausoleum built for myself.
Because you seem just like the kind of guy that wants a large crypt, Pat. McClain with flashing...
And on the side of it, it'll say McClain. No, actually, I don't know why I actually saved the letters, but I have lots of nephews whose last name are McClain and children whose last name are McClain.
Oh, you were so thinking of others.
I'm thinking gifts, Christmas gifts.
A wedding, letter at a time.
Wedding gifts, a letter.
Several years.
I can spread this out. All right. This gift is long-lasting.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Pat. This is a financial program, and we will talk financial matters.
And take your phone calls.
Yes, and we have a new phone number if you'd like to join us. Would love to take your call. And to join us, it's toll-free 1-833. Man, we ran out of 800 numbers a long time ago. Then it was 888-877-8. So this is 833-99-WORTH. 833-99-WORTH. And numerically, it's 833-999-6784. And, of course, if you go to our website, it'll be right there as well, and you can click. If you're on your phone there, click, and it'll get right through. And if we would love to...
We'll take your calls, and we're going to take calls throughout the show, but we're going to spend the last half of the show on...
We're peppered throughout the program.
Correct. On a... But we're gonna focus a large portion of this show today on a subject.
This is graduation month.
It is it.
College graduation, high school graduation. We all have someone we know who's graduating, whether it might be our own kid graduating from college, it might be a grandkid graduating from high school, it might be our niece or nephew. Odds are you, as a listener, whether you're listening to terrestrial radio or podcast, someone popped in your mind and you've got a graduation that you're going to be going to in the next 3 to 5 weeks.
So they know that about themselves. What's the show about?
You.
It's about you.
It's about a couple things. One is what advice to give a young person who's just starting out in life. And also, if it's you and you're planning for retirement, what are some things should be considering now that your child is supposedly self-supportive, but at this stage in life where the huge checks are no longer going out?
Yeah, so how do you interact with either your child in financially in going into college or actually going into the workforce? How your responsibility as a parent or a grandparent, How do you interact with those?
And it's always a fun time graduation because it's a new season and
But graduation from high school or college is a fun time. But remember when you know when your kids were younger and they had the sixth grade graduation and the eighth grade graduation? Do you remember that?
I remember my kindergarten graduation.
For your children?
For my own kindergarten graduation.
You had a graduation for your kindergarten?
I remember it. I remember there's probably like little paper hats. I don't remember much of my childhood, but I do remember my high school.
Or your high school or
I mean, my kindergarten. And I remember Mrs. Bruce, my teacher in first and second grade, because I thought she was really cute, really pretty.
Okay, let's move on. Let's
I do,
take
Mrs.
Your
Bruce.
Call.
I don't know what
You'd
she's
like
doing today.
You'd like to join this show, 833-99-WORTH. 833-99-WORTH.
And let's start off in Colorado. We're talking with Shannon. Shannon, you're with Allworth's Money Matters.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Shannon.
What can we do for you?
I have a few questions around the spousal benefit for Social Security.
Okay.
I've heard you talking about this benefit before. I'll tell you my context. I'm 59. I was married for 18 years. I've been divorced for 8. I've not remarried. At the time of our divorce, my ex-husband and I both had earned enough credits to qualify for Social Security. And since our divorce, his annual earnings have been roughly 3 times my annual earnings. So I'm interested in exploring this.
What were they during the marriage?
I'm sorry?
What were his earnings during the marriage? Were they equivalent to yours or?
Equivalent.
Okay.
Pretty much equivalent.
Okay.
It's since the marriage that his went way up. So, yeah.
So what's your question for us?
So a couple of questions. One question is a twist on this is that I am 9 years older than he is. And when I went to the Social Security website, I can't tell if the timing of filing for that is based on my retirement eligibility age or his retirement eligibility age.
Both. So what happens when you go to apply for your benefit, it's going to be, let's say at age 66 or that's full retirement age, you go
67
to
67 would be my full retirement.
At 67, you go to apply for your full retirement. Your ex-spouse is not. It's not 67, right? Several years still.
He'll be 58.
Yeah, so many years. So you will continue. You will receive benefits based upon your benefit, and then when he reaches retirement age, if that benefit is higher, then it'll bump up to what that his benefit.
But in what you have just told us, I doubt that you will end up applying or getting any benefit based on his Social Security. Because his income went up after that, so after you got married. So it's a relatively complicated formula that the Social Security Administration actually goes through, but they're able to parse it year by year.
And if your earnings were similar during the same years, this isn't going to be a retirement game changer for you. How old are you today, Shannon?
She said she's 59.
Okay. I would plan my, if I were in your situation, I would plan my retirement as if it's just based on your Social Security.
That's correct. From what you've told us so far, it's highly unlikely that if your earnings were the same through the marriage, and given what you've told us about the age difference, it's highly unlikely that his benefit would, you applying against his benefit would provide any more than
and
your
And
you're
own. Also looking at a time, the calendar year in which you would then be eligible for his benefits, assuming it was higher, is also about the same time that Social Security Trust Fund is going to be bust. So we're expecting, not to say that you're not going to get any benefits, but we're expecting some change. So if you're my sister, I'd say, Shannon, let's just plan your retirement with no incremental increase. If it happens, maybe it's a 10 or 15% increase of what you're receiving. And Social Security is also the way it's calculated. You take someone who's earned, say, $20,000 a year at retirement, if that's their earnings, have been a lower income person, their Social Security benefit will be almost what their pay was, maybe 85% of their pay. It'll make up majority of that $20,000. You take someone who's earned $120,000, it's not going to be the majority of that $120,000. So it's you think about a low income. It's it a it will replace the majority of that income. But as that income goes beyond $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, the incremental benefit becomes smaller and smaller.
That's correct. And if someone makes $100,000 a year and pays into Social Security on that versus someone that is actually makes $20,000, the person that paid in on $100,000 doesn't receive five times the benefit as the someone
exactly.
at $20,000. So in terms of financial planning, I would just make all my estimates based on your own Social Security, and hopefully you'll get more from his, but I wouldn't count on it. All righty?
Yeah. So do I have to file specifically for that on his, or is that something that Social Security looks up? Is that something I initiate?
Yeah, you can initiate it, but yes, they'll look at – you'll either get the higher of the two, yours or his. So that's
okay.
something that
I would just keep in mind – 15 years from now, or whatever that is, when he reaches his full retirement age, to maybe 6 months before that to revisit it.
Yeah.
But it's so many years out.
Gotcha.
We do have the Social Security website is actually, it's a great website, ssa.gov. There's a lot of great information on that website. And we also have on our own website, we've got a guide, a Social Security guide. It's a webinar that, what is it, a webinar or something?
We have both a guide and a webinar.
Oh, there's quite a bit of information that really deals with specific situations as we go into retirement. And I think it helps because oftentimes people say, when should I apply for benefits? And it depends on a variety of factors. And I think we lay out three different scenarios.
That's correct.
Based upon what your objective is. If your objective is to leave the most amount to your kids, here's when you should think about it. Is your objective is to reduce your risk as much as possible? Here's another thing. So
and it's all driven by your life expectancy as well. So I'm going to speak to our website.
So thanks for calling, Shannon.
I'm going to speak to our website for a minute, Scott, because
our new website, Allworth Financial.
We met with our inside marketing team and our writers and our analyst earlier this week, and all the content that you actually see on our website, we develop internally. Most of, if not all of the content on our website, we develop internally. So the reason I'm saying that is that you could go to the Social Security Administration and read their website, but in addition to that, you should probably go to our website and watch the webinar, which is probably a little bit easier to understand the concepts behind different subject matters.
That's right. I would agree.
We have a tendency to speak in concepts when we're speaking through our website.
Yeah. And it's right on our retirement resources section of our website at Allworth Financial. So, again, to join the program, our contact number, toll-free, 1-833-99-WORTH. 1-833-99-WORTH. And we're in Denver talking with Dara. Dara, you're with Allworth's Money Matters.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Last time I spoke with you, or I should say last time I listened to you, you were discussing financial advisors.
Okay.
And the cost to pay these advisors. And you were discussing fee-based versus commission.
Alrighty.
Yes. And I wanted to be clear on both of those, and then what is a relatively acceptable amount to be paying on your estate or for advice.
Okay. Do you want to start with some specific questions?
Well, I have an estate that's under management, and they told me I was being charged 1.15%. And I didn't know whether, and I've heard other people say that they're paying 0.8% and 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure whether I was in the right place or not, if I'm paying too much for their advice.
Okay. So let's talk about, before we talk
that
about
might be,
whether that's
that
a little
one. That
might
be a fine price. It might be too much. It depends in part on what the underlying investments are and if their fees, what the fees are in those, number one. And number two, what services you're receiving.
So let's talk about the services that you're receiving.
Okay.
Okay. So what does this financial advisor, this financial advisory firm do for you?
Well, I can meet with my advisor anytime I need to or want to. So they're very open to and in good communication with me. They have then turned my account over to a larger corporation, I assume, out of California. And they took all of my assets and put them in 9 different accounts based on risk, based on diversity, based on, I guess, my ultimate goals, like mostly giving my money to my kids,
okay,
those kind of things.
So Dara, did they do a financial plan with you? Did they say, okay, this is how much money you can spend on a monthly basis? This is the mortgage you should pay off. This is how much you should be gifting to your kids or none at all. Did they recommend an estate plan? Have they helped you with tax planning? Any of those things?
Yes, They've done a lot of that.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So that, this is what we would refer to as a full service financial advisor.
Do you like
firm.
The advisor?
Do you like them and do you trust them?
Yes.
Okay.
To both.
Then 1.15 is a very, very reasonable rate.
Oh, right? It is.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So
you can get pure investment management for less money.
Yeah, you can get it for, you know, you had mentioned 0.05 or 5 basis points, 0.5%. That is investment management. So you're paying for investment management and financial advice. That's what you're doing. So,
is the way a lot of financial advisors charge.
So in terms of what you're paying or not for to the advisor, in my opinion, that would be a reasonable rate. Now let's talk about the investments themselves. What firm custodies your assets?
Is where it they like held?
Is it Fidelity?
Nobody knows what the term custody means.
Is it like Charles Schwab or
Asset Mark?
Okay,
Asset Mark Capital.
Okay, so what they have done, I'm familiar with Asset Mark. Scott, are you familiar with Clark Capital?
I don't know.
I'm not familiar. So what Asset Mark is what they call a third party asset manager. So your financial advisor has said, okay, here's Dara's risk tolerance, and this is what she's trying to achieve. And then he went over to Asset Mark, who is basically a contractor, and said, you manage the money on Dara's behalf, and I will kind of give you direction as to should it be moderate, should it be aggressive, should it be conservative. There's a fee associated with that.
Of course, uh-huh.
And it may be included in that 1.15%, or it may not.
Mm. It probably.
There's probably a good chance that
know?
It is.
Yeah.
Right?
So what
how
your
would I know?
Well, you would
please
ask.
Just ask your financial advisor.
Just ask the financial advisor. Where does
Well, every time I ask him, he tells me I'm paying 1.15.
Okay, well, then that's what you're paying. Ask him if there's internal fees in addition to that 1.15. Or where are the hidden fees? Right? Because
okay.
There's – so this
–
all
you
these
might,
questions
you might,
are great.
I have respect for Asset Mark and what they do. I think they – here's the funny thing, Dara. A lot of financial advisors in our industry tend to think there's some sort of wizard portfolio managers. And so you – and frankly, a lot of the investing public – hires a financial advisor with the thought of, oh, I'm hiring this financial advisor because they're going to earn more money than the market is. They're going to be able to tell me when I should buy and when I should get out of the market. Well, nobody's going to be able to outsmart the markets. That's the bottom line. Nobody. So a good
right.
financial advisor helps people like Dara, like you, say, all right, what is it you're trying to accomplish? These dollars are just, they're just dollars. It's a store of wealth. It's a tool. How can this tool best be used to serve Dara's dreams and wishes and hopes and everything else? So a good financial advisor spends some time with you to figure out what it is you want these dollars to provide for you. Number one, when do we need the dollars? And then how much volatility can Dara be comfortable with without losing her mind when the markets go south, right? And from there, it's really about, okay, if figuring those things out, then they can design a portfolio to match that. And some advisors, like the one you've got, rather than spending all their time and energy trying to manage that portfolio on an ongoing basis, partners with a third-party firm and says, in your case, Asset Mark, hey, Asset Mark, this is exactly what I've planned for Dara. Build a portfolio that's going to match Dara's plan, her financial plan. Then the financial advisor works with you when there's changes in your life, communicates back with the Asset Mark, hey, there's some changes. We need to make some changes here. And then that frees up the advisor, frankly, to spend time with you and on your other financial planning needs.
And
which is, I think, an absolutely, I think for many advisors, it's a great approach.
And they're in, typically what you see is that they're in smaller firms. A firm like ours, we have, over $4 billion under management and a staff of 140 some odd people. We do that all internally in-house. So we have our own little section that actually builds
the models.
And
our advisors essentially uses something equivalent. It just happens to be in-house.
It happens to be in-house. Now, in saying all that, if in fact Asset Marker, there was fees internally inside your portfolio, if they were less than, and this would be on the, if they were, they're probably less than 3/10 or 4/10 of a percent, in which case, you're paying about market rate or a little bit, you're about average in terms of full service financial advice, what you're paying for. Let me ask one more question. How long have you had this advisor?
Oh, I would say 2 years, about 2.5 okay. years.
And where was your money before this advisor?
It was with another advisor that retired, and she referred me to these fellows.
Okay.
And I actually like them much better than her.
Good.
There we go.
I don't think she.
There you go.
It's true.
That's what I was trying to get. I was trying to get at, which is, look, the you're comfortable. You're comfortable with these people. You trust uh-huh. them. You like them. What you're trying to determine is, am I getting
a fair
market value for the services that they're rendering? And from
right.
first blush, I would say, yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like if you were my own sister, we use this, the term sister.
I used to use mother, but I've been doing this a long time.
And the reason we use the term sister is because if you make it personal, if you make your advice personal, which is, would I give this advice to my own family member?
And that's right. Honestly, that is exactly what we internalize every time we're talking to somebody.
When we hire someone new,
just met you on the air. Right. So I think about those who I would give my life to, my family.
I think of Dara, I'm thinking, okay, my sister Grace, if my sister Grace was in this situation, what would I say to Grace? And I would say, Grace, if you're comfortable with the person, you like them, I think that they sound like they're charging a fair price, I wouldn't upset the apple cart.
I would not either.
Okay.
And my sister Grace, by the way, is a marvelous young lady, and I'm sure you are as well.
Okay. Right. Well, I have just come into a large sum of money from my mom's passing, so that's why I needed some more assistance, and I went, and those fellows were handling me, but then turned me over to Asset Mark.
Well, so they're still handling, right? Yep. Because they may fire Asset Mark in 2 or 3 years and say, we think your money would be better deployed here or a portion of it deployed
But they're not getting
there.
A commission from Asset Mark, right? So they're still fee-based, they're fiduciary approach, and you can fire them at any time, so they know that every day they have to earn your business.
And Asset Mark is a third party. And think about this as your financial advisor is kind of being a general contractor. So the general contractor says, okay, I'm going to bring in this person to for the foundation on the house. This person's going to put in the walls, right? Your financial advisor has done the same thing, which is, Dara, why don't you go get your estate plan done with this attorney? Why don't you get your taxes done with this accountant?
Yeah, we're making sure that it's all being done properly.
Or why don't we manage the money here? And they just kind of coordinate that and make sure that it's on track. So
that 1.15% covers both the advisors and Asset Mark,
it sounds
correct?
Like it could be a little
Probably.
Bit more, but we don't know.
Probably.
But from what you've told me thus far, it sounds you like your advisor. They do the kind of financial planning. You trust them.
Okay.
And it's a reasonable fee. Asset Mark's a great organization.
It's a respected firm. In fact, we're friends with the people that actually started Asset Mark. I would tell you.
You like that guy? I'm just kidding.
I do.
Joking?
I do.
All right, Derek.
Okay.
All right.
Wish you well.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. Thanks very much for your opinion.
And Pat, so you mentioned contractors. So I have my wife and I, we built a house 14 years ago.
Okay.
All right. And it's on top of a hill outside. It's 80 miles across the Sacramento Valley to where this hill is. And when storms come in the winter, the rainy storms, which we don't get a lot.
Are this rich people problems? Is this what you're going to talk about?
I'm not.
Okay.
And rich is a relative term. I don't feel very.
Okay.
So what happens is I've had leaks just about every year.
On the where the wind comes into the house.
The wind comes not only through the windows, it comes through the stucco and the whatever membrane they've got behind there all the way through, right?
So like water, like the house is weeping.
Yes.
Like the walls cry.
Yes, and I cried with it. And for years, I've put kind of Band-Aid approaches on it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, all right, we got to really do something. We got to fix this thing right. And so we hired a company that I had known the individual who had created this company and sold it a couple of years ago. He spoke very highly about the people who hired. So we're looking at the thing, and it comes down to price. And I said to him, look, I just was really clear with him, just give me a fair price. It was the type of thing.
Because you don't know.
I don't know. And there's some mold in some spots. It's the type of thing where I've tried other people coming and going. I've tried the low cost. It has not served me well. I've continued to have problems. Now I'm just going to pay what I need to pay. And it's just give me a fair price. That's all I care about.
And make
about.
Sure it's done right.
Oh, of course. And stand behind this product. Yeah. Which there's,
and you
I
have mold?
I do have a little mold.
Oh, that's not good. Spots.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for chatting. Okay. We're taking a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about graduation season, what it means to you and what it means to your loved ones. Stick around for more of Allworth's Money Matters.
Can't get enough of Allworth's Money Matters? Visit allworthfinancial.com/radio to listen to the Money Matters podcast. Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 833-99-WORTH. That's 833-99-WORTH.
Welcome back to Allworth's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McClain.
We're going to talk about graduation here in a moment. But before, I want to let our listeners know, let you know, that we've got some educational workshops coming up. In Denver, next Saturday, May 18th, we have our retirement symposium at the University of Denver. We did this for the first time, Pat, in Sacramento at William Jessup University out in Rockland. And you were there for the day of the retirement symposium. And this next Saturday, May 18th, I will be in Denver for the Denver Retirement Symposium.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
So
University of Denver, my daughter's actually a student at University of Denver.
Which makes sense. You get to
get to see her a little.
Get to visit with
her. But it's at from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's essentially an all-day thing. We'll give you free lunch. Now, you say there's no such thing as a free lunch, but there will be a free lunch here. And during this time, we've got some great education. So we're going to be talking about our retiree beware material. Here's the products and people that you need to be aware of at retirement time with the people to avoid with your money. We're going to talk about the 7 personal decision points that you need to consider as you go into retirement. We're going to talk about Social Security, and we're going to go over the art of retirement.
The soft side of retirement.
Yeah.
Like what should you think about in retirement, going into retirement.
And there'll be a couple hundred people there, so it will fill up. You do need to make a reservation. Simply go to Allworth Financial's website, allworthfinancial.com, and you can register for that. In addition, this coming week in Sacramento, we have some educational events. This is our Retiree Beware workshop. These are the people,
the products, the bad things that you stay away from.
And it'll just arm you with good information.
Yeah, and it will give you a couple ideas, tips on how to improve your overall retirement situation.
So Tuesday the 14th in Elk Grove at 6:45 p.m. Wednesday, downtown Sacramento, 6:45 p.m. Thursday, Roseville, 6:45 p.m. Saturday in Ranch Cordova at 11:15 a.m. 75 minutes long. Again, reservations are required for this because we have filled up on some of these. And again, to register for our Retire Beware workshops, simply go to allworthfinancial.com.
Easy enough.
Easy peasy. All right, enough of that. Graduation time. Pat, I think you have one kid graduating.
Two in the coming weeks. I have my youngest son who is graduating from high school, and my second child, my daughter, is graduating from college with her bachelor's in primary education, and she's staying another year to finish up her master's. So she started on her master's program while she was.
Oh, look at you showing off.
She's smart. So much
took
better,
after your wife. Oh,
absolutely. Much better student than I ever was. In fact, all my children, most of my children are much better students than
so
I was.
So many of us are attending some sort of graduation. There's three people in our booth here at the studio here. How many have a graduation you're going to be attending in the next?
Yep. Oh, there we go.
Okay, two, look two at it. First three. They shook their... Two out of three. So odds are you are going to be attending, at least on our scientific sample of three here in the studio, two-thirds of you will be attending.
Well, hopefully you don't have to attend the graduation, just the party after the graduation. Because let's face it, the graduations, although I went to a graduation up at Chico State a couple years ago where the speaker was just unbelievable. I actually went back and found some of his other speeches and listened to him. He was incredible.
So,
but for most people, just
we
want to
talk
the
about a couple
afterwards.
Things as a result of this. One, you may be in a position where it's your child graduating college
or high school,
your niece, nephew graduating, starting out in life. What are some tips that you can give them? What sort of advice can you pass on that will help them in their financial life? And secondly, it might be your child that is no longer on your payroll, and you're thinking about, one day I need to retire. One day I might be forced out of this job. One day I might have a health issue. One day I might want to quit working. How should you be thinking about preparing for retirement?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to spend a little time on during the program.
Yeah. And so what qualifies us to actually give this type of advice, Scott? Because this is not only just financial, it is
Well, first of all,
personal.
Roughly, we've both been doing this
almost 30 years. Almost 30 years.
You, I think, 30 years. You started the business in 89.
I did, yes.
Okay, 29 and 39 years as financial advisors.
29 and 30 years.
Hopefully it's not 1 year of experience, 30 years over. Hopefully it's actually 30 years of experience. But
so that's number
one.
You
can be the judge.
We have thousands of clients that our firm has interacted, and us personally, hundreds and hundreds of clients who have gone through very, very similar situations.
And we've been taking calls from our listeners for 23 years.
And I have actually... four children, and from the ages of 18 to 24, and I don't know how many nieces and nephews that I actually, they call and ask for advice. They'll ask for career advice, and they'll ask for financial advice, as well as many of my children's friends, who I still insist call me Mr. McClain.
You don't insist that.
No, I don't.
It's
actually,
funny,
by
though.
The age of about
they're
like
23, 24, yeah, and, hey, Mr. Hansen, your kid. All your kids. Connor, though. Connor's twice my size. How big is that?
Oh, he's a
big
kid.
And how old is he? He's 23? 24,
I think. Yeah.
20. Hey, Mr. Hansen. He's got this deep, Mr. Hansen. Like, whoa.
So anyway, so that's what qualifies us to give the advice.
Yes.
Which we believe qualifies us to give the advice.
And here's what we've experienced. We're going to talk about you, assuming that you have children that have grown. Maybe
or grandchildren.
Graduated. Let's assume for a moment that you are still working and looking at retirement. Here's what we've seen. Here's what's very common. Here's what I see happen in my neighborhood, my own peers. Sometime during the kid in high school, college, people get quite serious about the career. If one of the spouses was a stay-home parent, they're back in the workforce saying, all right, we've got retirement coming. How do we somehow swing for paying for our kids' college education and retirement at the same time? Now, you can hire some sort of consultant and get you into USC on the rowing team.
Yes, if you write a big enough check.
I'm joking. That's in like the news every day, that sort of thing. But for many families, it's supporting financially. What we see happen is now kids are graduating. Let's assume your kids graduate in college. You've been writing this huge check twice a year, three times a year for school. Now you've got this excess cash flow.
What do you do with it? What you want to do with it is spend it. And you certainly don't want to chase your child with it, right? So your child, hopefully they'll get out of college and get the dream job. But that doesn't normally happen right away.
And it's actually, if you look at kids graduating college today, it's changed from where it was 20, 30 years ago, maybe when you got your first job. It used to be you'd get... You didn't even need an internship back in the day, a long time ago, and you'd have a few different job offers when you graduated college and you go to take one. Many kids now, they graduate in college. It takes them, they do a couple part-time jobs for a period of time.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay for your child to share a room with two other people because they're struggling. It's okay for your child to take a job that they don't believe that they're that they believe they're overqualified and isn't the perfect job. It's okay for your kid to wait a table or bus a table. That's okay. That is okay, right? You want that kid to be motivated to move up in life, make them do a job that they don't like.
Well, hopefully you're not making them do anything at that point. You're just allowing them to choose their life. What we've seen happen over the years is some couples, families, individuals, when their kid graduates college, they view this as a time, we finally have some disposable income. We've been spending so much money that now we have some excess income. Let's go do some of that travel that we've been talking about.
Let's go and blow it. Let's go get that new Mercedes or that new Lexus. Let's go, you know, redo the backyard, put in the swimming pool, whatever.
No one's putting in a swimming pool when the kids. Let's fill in the swimming pool.
No, good point.
but oftentimes we see people have lifestyle creep in really their last decade of their career.
At the wrong time.
Because the kids are now on their own. They've graduated. They moved on. Their lifestyle starts to creep up. The challenge with that is a couple things. One is you might not have had been saving enough for your retirement on your previous lifestyle.
And now?
Now you have a whole new lifestyle you've become accustomed to that might be impossible for you to ever maintain. So it is crucially important at this season of life to do the proper kind of planning to make sure, and you might be listening and saying, Scott, Pat, you guys, come on. I love what I do. Why would I want to? I know that a lot of people want to retire. Not me. I'm going to keep working. The fact is, half of us are forced into retirement earlier than we'd planned because of a change in job. Suddenly our job's like, we don't need you anymore.
Health issues? Yours or spouse's or parent?
So we believe it's important to get yourself into a position where retirement is an option, where work is an option, not an obligation. That's a great place to get to in life. So you've got a child graduating, you suddenly have some expenses that are no longer going out. This is the perfect time to do the right kind of planning to say, all right, if we want to be retirement ready at age 64 or 66 or 50, whatever that age is, what's it going to take for us to get there?
All right. So, Scott, that's the advice for the parents, right?
And be really careful about this.
Yes.
And it's okay to say, we're not saying don't go enjoy some of those other things. Those are all fine.
And we're not
saying if you can afford them.
Cut the kid off completely, but try to wean them off. It is. It's hard. I've seen it happen time and time and time again.
And if you can afford it, it's one thing. And some of you say, that's fine. I can afford it. That's great.
Good for you. But if you're sacrificing your own retirement so that your child gets to live in downtown L.A. while they're looking for a job in a $2,000, $3,000 a month apartment, that is something entirely different.
And it's important for you to understand where the assets you have. I mean, look, you retire with a couple million dollars today. There was a time that might have been a lot of money. If you've got a 30-year retirement, you look at a couple age 65 going into retirement today, there's a 50% chance that one of them will be alive in their 90s.
Yes.
So you need to plan for a 30-plus year retirement, even a couple million dollars of savings.
And you need to plan on a reasonable distribution from those accounts, not a hyperinflated or pie-in-the-sky distribution.
Yeah.
The other thing that we talked about is I've had this conversation with the clients. I believe that a large portion of the joy in life is in the struggle, and that my friends, our generation, are taking some of that struggle away from our children by making it too easy for them. Because you really appreciate.
You want to hear a good story?
I'm getting a little philosophical.
No. Here. So I've got two children in college. My oldest graduated, and then she went on to grad school. And I always told her she had to pay for grad school herself. And then she gets to grad school and said, Dad, do I have to pay for herself? I'm like, I'll pay for your grad school. Because
she helps out, though, right?
She works in the summer. And then she has unpaid internship. And actually, I set up a deal with her that, because she was going to go get a waiting job, which she does in the summer, which is fine. But I'd rather her spend her time in her field that she's working towards. So I pay her for her unpaid internship.
For her hours, whatever.
Yeah.
So what's
and unfortunately, I feel super blessed. So she's still trying to figure out some more income, and she has a dog, and she thought it'd be a good idea to do pet sitting. This was just this last weekend.
Okay.
Weekend ago. So she somehow overbooked, double booked the first go at it. She already has a dog herself and ended up with two other dogs.
Oh, no.
That were nightmares.
Okay.
Like chewing up stuff from the house, diarrhea, climbing on the couch after the diarrhea.
Oh, so this...
She would call home in tears.
So this business plan is not...
But the struggle, and my daughter's always been one that if she's going to learn it, it has to be based on her own mistakes because her parents, it's what we know. And
you want the child to experience some of the struggle. In fact, we were having the conversation with my youngest that he was asking the other day. My wife and I got married in college, and we bought, I still remember, we bought our wedding pictures. We weren't able to afford them until like our third anniversary to pay the photographer to actually get the pictures from the photographer. The first wedding anniversary, we actually bought tires for the Pinto. I look back at those times fondly. I wonder,
I moved to Sacramento. Maybe we're getting to 6 months after college. I had no money. I had a little bit of credit card debt because I ran out of money finishing up school. And I came to town, and I couldn't afford my own apartment. And so I went and rented a bedroom at a firefighter's little, very modest little home, rented a bedroom for a few $100 a month. And I remember having some months, I didn't even have the $300 to pay rent. I remember taking a cash advance on my credit card. Not the best financial, but I'm just telling you how I made it happen.
But
I'm like, this is the career I want to get in. And
those are our stories. So helping the child all the time, I think, steal some of that joy from them. So that's our. What do you tell the child that's graduating from college and their financial advice? One is try to work in your field, if in fact you have a field that you're interested in. If you graduated with philosophy major, I don't know how many big philosophy companies are hiring right now.
The very large philosophy company.
But try to pick a direction that you could specialize in. And go that direction. And then work hard. Invest as much time and energy in improving yourself in that particular industry as you have in college. And the most important thing is when a 401k becomes available to you.
It's the most important thing a kid, young person would do. An important financial step.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Put up 15% the maximum they will allow into your 401k or 403b or 457.
Well, 15%. Because some will allow much more than that. 15%. Yeah. If you can, it's pretty simple. I got to tell you.
You develop a skill. It's a discipline to put money away, to save.
It is not that complicated. And we've seen, the funny thing is, as financial advisors, we've seen it all. So we think
we've seen it all because
until you see something every once in a while, like, whoa, and you talk them in the hall. Well, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. But we've seen people who've had very modest incomes.
Who have high, high net worths. Why? Savers.
They save and avoid debt.
Save and avoid debt. Save and avoid debt.
And avoiding debt means auto loans, credit cards, consumer debt, anything that depreciates in value, you should not put on debt.
And even those things that appreciate in value, you should use it wisely.
Live below your means.
That's right.
That's really that simple.
It's not that hard.
And get your home paid off by the time you go to, by the time you retire. And we see people with modest incomes make it to later in life.
Very comfortable.
And most people earn their wealth not by picking the right stocks, the right investments. It's in their career.
In the industry in which they work.
It's their career. They might have been fortunate enough to work for a company that has gone public and they've got huge stock options. That's happens sometimes. That's kind of a...
Yeah. That's what you read about, but it is...
It's pretty lucky. You don't read about the stories of the kids who moved to Silicon Valley and the company that folded.
Yeah. You read about the ones that hit it big, right? You don't read about... So...
But whatever the profession is, be really great in that profession.
Yes. Put your time and energy into that.
That's where you're going to have your greatest return.
Yeah.
But if you can put 15% in your 401k and avoid debt...
You'll be steps ahead. Steps ahead.
And so. I didn't buy... I buy new cars now because I can afford it, to be frank. But I didn't buy a new car until I was 30-some-odd. I always bought used vehicles. Quite a bit used. I always lived below my means.
Yeah. I don't remember when I bought my first new car. Anyway.
Doesn't really matter.
No. It might have been not until my 40s. Late 30s. Anyway. Doesn't matter. But I'll tell you one thing I did do. My first job out of college was not in financial services. I wish it was, because it should have been, since I had a stockbroker when I was in college. I would take my measly couple hundred dollars a month and invest it with this stockbroker who was nice enough to take it. Where was I going with this?
I don't know.
I was put 15%, the maximum I could, right, first job out of college into the company 401k. First job out of college. So that's advice I would give to a new college graduate. For my son who has graduated from high school, the advice I give every one of them is, look, get a job at a minimum over the summer. And I do tell them this. Learn how to bus a table. Learn how to wait a table. I live by...
You waited tables a lot.
I waited tables all the way through college. All the way through college. And I worked as a busboy all the way through high school. And it was great. It was great because you could make a lot of money and you're actually working when other people are playing. And you have time during the day to go to school, or you have time, you can wait tables during the day and go at night. It's just a great way to make a living. You don't have to put in a ton of hours. You can make a decent living. The other thing that I tell my kids, and I think some of my children have listened to this, which is, in college, if you want to be as efficient as possible, read the material before the professor lectures on it.
Pat, did you read the material
before? Oh, absolutely. When I started taking college seriously about my sophomore year, I would read the material before the professor lectured on it. And the reason being is that the ability to actually understand the material and to get through it quickly.
In every class or just those classes you found interesting? Because the classes I didn't find interesting.
All right, that's fair enough.
I barely read anything.
They were mostly in my business majors. So I took an anthropology class, and I still couldn't tell you a monkey, this monkey from that monkey, and maybe that makes me a bad person. but it makes me a person nonetheless. So anyway, so I tell my kids to learn how to wait a table and read the materials before they lecture on it.
I think also what's important is for young people to be as aggressively invested as possible.
So when they open the 401k and they put their money in, I mean, just 100% stock? 100%.
Yes. I think what happens is people confuse volatility with risk, with loss.
Yeah, right? What is volatility versus what? So when we talk about risk, right, we use the word risk, and what we really should be talking about is volatility. Risk is the permanent loss of capital. The permanent loss of capital. Volatility says that an asset class price goes up and down. So an asset price could be real estate. It could be stocks. It could be all different types of things. It could be bonds. So risk, if I'm using leverage, which is if I'm using borrowed money to buy something, I actually have money at risk because...
Yes.
If I borrow 80% of the purchase price of a house for an investment and put down 20% of my own, if it goes past that, the bank has the ability to take that house away from me, right? But if I pay cash for that rental house, the risk of me losing it is almost nil.
All you have to do is pay the property taxes. And
the volatility of the price of the asset or that rental house goes up and down.
And if you have enough time, you can wait it out.
History tells us that over any 10, 12, 15-year period, real estate will actually go through a cycle.
And it'll go up more than it goes down.
So let's talk about...
Same thing with stocks.
Someone putting money into their first 401k.
When I started, Pat, in this industry in July of 1990, the Dow was at roughly 2,500. Today it's at roughly 25,000. Essentially a tenfold increase in those 30 years.
In about 30 years, right?
Now, I don't know if the next 30 years are going to have a tenfold increase, but if you step back far enough, where's the risk?
Well, the risk was that you sold at any one point in time in the marketplace, right? So you locked in those gains and or losses. So when we talk about risk in a portfolio and why the younger you are, the more money you should have in stocks in your portfolio, it's the volatility. It is the ups and downs. But you're okay with that. You should be okay with that because your timeline is longer than that. So when people go into retirement, so that's what why if you're young, you want 100% of it to go to stocks.
100%. And even if you're retiring, you still want a good chunk of, and you're not going to spend it all
your first
year. You're
not going to spend it all your first year. You're not going to spend it all your fifth year. You're not going to spend it all your 10th year.
Even if you're 55, 60, and still plan on retirement 5 years out, don't think you're going to spend it all the first day you're going to retire.
That's right. So
you need to plan on a 30-year retirement.
So even in retirement, you should have a... I'm going to say a majority of your portfolio in equities, a majority of your portfolio in stocks.
Unless you really can't stand that ups and those ups and downs. So, hey, before we're running short on time here, and I want to ask you a favor. If you listen to our program via podcast, we would like for you to go and rate us.
If you like this show, and if you don't like this show, I don't know why you listen through to the very end.
Fair enough. So just go and rate us. We've got a new brand, right? Hanson McLean's converting over to Allworth, and it would be helpful for us if you could rate us and give us a review on iTunes, or if you're using another another format for your podcast. That, and all you got to do is just search Allworth Financial Money Matters, and there you'll find us. If you look at Money Matters, there's a couple different, just make it confusing. So it's Allworth Financial Money Matters. And again, next Saturday, May 18th, we have our Denver Retirement Symposium. And this upcoming week, we've got workshops throughout the Sacramento region. For more information and to register, again, go to allworthfinancial.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Allworth Financial's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Allworth Financial, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice. You should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.